Welcome to the Sunday night There is a Solution newcomer returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Lisa N., a compulsive overeater from Wisconsin.
Thank you so much. I'm really glad to be here, and for more reasons than one. First, it means that I'm involved in Overeaters Anonymous, which is a terrific, it's been the solution for my compulsive eating, and also because I, over just 6 months ago, I had a slip, and it really reminded me that if you slip, or if you relapse, I didn't relapse, thank goodness. I did not measure and weigh an ingredient, and I considered that a slip. But I waited for 6 months before I was agreed to talk for anything. That means you can't help people, and that's what brings me life and living instead of death and selfishness. And so I'm very grateful to be here, and I was grateful to be asked, so thank you. And then also I wanted to tell you that, yes, I am a compulsive overeater. I am only recovered one day at a time, and that's by my higher power's grace and mercy, and I feel like my higher power is, as they say, the hero of my story. So I will have Jessica, if you want to put up that first picture of me, actually, that's probably the one of the other last ones. How about when I was little, eating spaghetti? There I go. Okay, so that's me as a toddler, and my parents and my siblings, my siblings were not compulsive overeaters. They thought I was adorable because I could really eat spaghetti. And so you can see I have this huge plate in front of me because it seems like I could not be satisfied. There was never enough. And that's kind of how I lived all of my life until I was about 45 years old when I came into the program. I'm 63 now. So anyway, there's the little girl. I also not only had a compulsive eating problem when I was a child, I had an attitude and a behavior problem as well. And I guess that's not really a shock, but I was like the little girl with the curl in the middle of her forehead. When I was good, I was very, very good. And when I was bad, I was horrid. And my sister was 9 years older than me, and she would take me to a park. And when it was time to go, I would have a terrible temper tantrum, and she'd try to carry me home. And she wasn't a big girl. And when my mother found out, I got a terrible spanking, or a good spanking, I guess. I don't know what you'd call it. And I stopped throwing fits for my sister at the park. So that was good. But yeah, I always had some kind of a little within me. I had emotional things going on. And, but I was also a very good little actress, and I knew how people could perceive me as, a nice little girl too. I could really, like I said, I was the girl with the curl in the middle of her forehead. So I could really do that well. My parents both have, histories that affected me, I believe. My dad was, raised a very poor, well, I shouldn't say poorly. What he had is he had a neglectful father. His father would leave the family. There were several children, come back, go back and forth, back and forth. And my dad ended up having trouble with food and smoking and depression. And I never smoked, but I know that I had some depression and also, of course, the compulsive eating component. My mother was not a compulsive eater. She was, I would call her a rageaholic. I hear that that phrase coined. And she had a parent that was a rageaholic, very abusive. And their parents were at a certain level, and my parents did a little better. My mother always said, "You have to do better than your own parents." So even though I ended up doing something very similar with my children, I could be neglectful while I was in the food, somewhere else in my mind, always in the kitchen. There's always something to do in the kitchen, I said. But also, I was abusive to my kids with yelling. I could not control that. And also, I slapped my little 4-year-old once across the face. So I was not, I was not in control. I was not. And so anyway, when I was in grade school, if you want to show them that picture, a little girl who's chubby. Black and white picture. That's, there I go. Okay, so it wasn't cute anymore in my family. Now I was getting heavy, and I was heavier than other children. And I think I was probably in about second grade there. I'm not sure, but yeah, my mother was, now she was starting to worry, and people were saying things, and yeah, it wasn't cute anymore. So she went to a Pay and Weigh, and she got a like a pro a plan, but it was for an adult. It was not for a child. And so I had she packed me a lunch for school, and it was a half a sandwich, milk, and an apple. And for me, that wasn't enough. Might have been for another child, but not for me. And I guess I always longed for and thought I couldn't eat a whole sandwich. Even when I lived on my own, I wouldn't eat a whole sandwich because, in my mind, I was raised to think that you didn't do that. Strange thinking. I did get a lot of teasing from children, other children. But I realize now that children can be cruel to anybody for whatever reason they're different. And so that is something now I understand. And I have done some 10th steps and fourth steps on those kids, and I'm okay with them now. I understand. The one thing that I knew is that I was powerless over that. I knew that at a very early age. I just couldn't stop. I would be in the after school, I would be watching television. My mother was gone to work. My dad was gone to work. My siblings weren't home from school. So I would eat after school, and I would eat a lot. And I would go from the television to the kitchen, to the television to the kitchen. I couldn't stop. That was what I did. And I would pray. That was one thing that I had in my favor. And that was always a belief in a higher power. Now, granted, it was my parents' higher power, but I felt a higher power with me. There were times that as a child that I would pray spontaneously on my own. Like, I always initiated prayer before our meals. My family kind of rolled their eyes at me. Yeah, before bed, always wanted to pray before I went to bed to sleep at night. And I would do that on my own. So I knew there was a higher power. I knew. And I felt loved by the higher power, but I felt like that higher power just didn't think I was doing what I should be, or I was disappointing that higher power. And I think that was because I disappointed my mother. My weight bothered her. She felt like it was her fault, yet it was, again, out of her control too. And so it was, Yeah, there was a lot of feelings that I just wasn't measuring up for my mother or my higher power. And let's see. I've got a couple notes here that I just wanted to make sure. Okay, then I don't know if there's another picture. Let's see. Oh, okay. My wedding dress, maybe. There we go. Okay, so there I look slim, right? I didn't think I was. And the day after my wedding, I wore a dress, a red dress. My mother said to me, she said, "Your aunt said to you that, or said to me that you were too hippie for that dress." It's like, you know, I heard a lot of comments from my mother through the years, and they started really intensely in middle school. And I could be thin like this, or I could be heavy. So I would swing back and forth with my weight. And that's really what I did until I was probably in my 30s, and then I just couldn't do it anymore. But what I was going to say is, so middle school, high school, and college, a lot of times I was thin. I was almost in college a little bit too thin. And so I could manage it then, but not for long. And so once I was through college, I went to nursing school. My mother wanted me to be a nurse, so I became a nurse. You can see I was very influenced by her. When I went to college, I was okay with my weight because there was a lot of physical activity. And I also consider myself probably an exercise bulimic when I was in the food and exercising. Not now. I eat a normal food plan written by a nutritionist, and I do exercise every day, most days, but not you know, to excess at all. And in fact, I have some joint issues that I believe are probably due to either the way I was made, or you know, probably excessive weight, and then also really over exercising. So yeah, I have to take care of my body now, and I do. I'm so grateful for that. So after college, I went to a pay and weigh myself, and I lost. I gained some weight during a certain stressful time. I had to take a test to become licensed as a nurse, and that was a very stressful time. And then after I passed the test and got a job, I decided to go to the pay and weigh, go to a club and work out, and I got thin. And then I met my husband, and that was perfect because I wanted to be thin, and then, you know, have a boyfriend too. And my relationships with boys and even friends was always strained, and I was never happy with people. They could not be the kind of person I wanted them to be. They were never who I thought they should be. And it was strange because I always felt like I was being the victim, but really I victimized people with my unkindness or my rejection of them. So yeah, I really didn't have a good handle on relationship at all. I did go to church while I was in college, but I stopped when I got my job. I went once, I think, but my dad had died, and I think I was angry at God about that. My dad was a smoker, as I said, a compulsive overeater. His mother was morbidly obese. And he died very young. He died when he was 54. And so, yeah, I was angry. My mother and father never had a good marriage. My mother was confused, lost. Sometimes she was mad that he died. Sometimes she was glad. It was a very strange, confusing time. When I met my husband, she did not like my husband. And I look at my husband now, and there's things about him, not everything, but like My dad loved John Wayne, and my husband loves John Wayne. My dad was an avid reader. My husband's an avid reader. It's just kind of strange how that all happens. But anyway, yeah, my mom did not like my husband right off the bat when she first met him when we were dating. And that wedding dress I showed had Jessica show you, that was size 8. I was tiny, and like I said, the day after, my mother said they were talking about my weight not being good, and it's just, you know, it's the disease. It's the disease, the strange thinking, the you know, it's the phenomenon of craving, the allergy of the body, and the twist of the mind. That's what I was looking for, as it says in the big book. And I definitely had confusion about how I look to other people. And so anyway, after my husband and I moved, we bought a house. I didn't work because he worked strange hours and we would never see each other. It wasn't a good thing for me, but I didn't want to work. And the reason I didn't is because I didn't know how to deal with people. I was uncomfortable with people. And so, and I was afraid I was going to kill somebody as a nurse, quite honestly. I was too afraid. And so, a few years after that, I got pregnant with our first child and I gained 80 pounds. And I know, I remember saying to my husband, you know, I don't know why I don't know why I'm gaining this weight. I don't know why it's so much. I tell my doctor, I'm not sure what's going on. But what would happen is I would be nauseous, and so I'd say, okay, I'm going to eat something and then I'll feel better. That was always my solution. I'll feel better if I eat. If I'm upset, I'll feel better if I eat. It was not the solution, but I did not know what the solution was. So anyway, I gained this terrible amount of weight, and I even remember at the hospital the day that I was scheduled actually to have Pitocin and to have the pregnancy started for me, or the not the pregnancy, the delivery started, and the nurse weighed me, and I was 230 pounds, and she looked at me, and she. I didn't see much of her that whole shift. I had people check in on me, but not her. And I wondered to this day, I wonder, did she have an eating disorder herself? And it freaked her out because whenever I was around somebody that might have had an eating disorder, I was like, yeah, I don't wanna, I'm not hanging out with you. I mean, it's just the weirdest thing. Why would I not, you know, like, say, well, I can really relate to that person. I could not relate to those people at all, and I didn't want to. So, anyway, after my first child, my mother was really upset with my husband and things he did, and she was always talking to him, talking to me up against him, and I let her. I allowed her to do that because I was afraid of her. And so we had another child. I gained 65 with that child, although I had lost 80 pounds after the first, gained 65 with the second. And then a year later, I got pregnant again, and I had not lost all the weight with the second child. So I gained another 60 pounds. And that was it. I was no longer able to do it by myself. I did try another pain way after the first child, and that kind of worked, but I was still eating my own food. And, eating the way I ate, which was confusing and weird and over, way over the top. And people were watching my weight up and down and up and down all the time, but not then. After the third child, I just couldn't do it anymore. It was that baffling feature of compulsive eating and the utter inability to leave it alone, as it says in the big book about Bill and his alcohol. So I was a foodaholic, really. Compulsive overeating, just like a drunk who has, or an alcoholic who can't stay away from the booze. So anyway, it was a strange thing because after and you can show him another picture, Jessica, if you want, with me, the heaviest picture with me in the white pants. Okay, so that was a very unhappy time for me, and guess where I was? I was in Hawaii, and I was so miserable. And I was there with my sons, my three children. I was there with my husband. My husband did not know how miserable I was, and how my mother talked about him, and it was really bad. I was really depressed. I did see a woman at where we were, at the resort where we were, and she looked at me with such compassion. I never forgot that.
Sorry, Lisa, that's you have about 14 minutes left,
Thank
so
you.
you
Thank you
can
so
go.
much. So she looked at me with such compassion. I felt love from her, and I had no idea who she was. And again, I look back at that time and I wonder, was she one of us? You know, at one time, was she like me, or did she just see a very broken person? I don't know. But I never forgot the kindness on her face and the smile. And so anyway, after that time period, my mother was, she had terrible mental health problems and she wasn't seeking help. And so I did get some help. I did see a counselor, and I was on a medication for a short time that would supposedly help me with weight loss. And but I ended up going off of it, not wanting to be on it because I felt like I was gaining more weight. And so my mother and I became estranged. I won't go into the details of it, but it was all about my husband, and she was making terrible accusations about him. And my psychologist told me that she wasn't accurate. And so I did end that relationship with her, and my brother as well. We are estranged to this day. My mother's deceased, and so as I said, my father died when I was young. So anyway, at that time, when I was so heavy, I remained heavy, and I just couldn't lose weight, even though I was seeing a psychologist, and I had heard of OA. I had heard of Overeaters Anonymous. I had seen a commercial as a child. I don't know if you remember the commercial where that lady has got her head in the refrigerator. She's got curlers in her hair, and somebody says, "You don't have to eat like this anymore." I remembered that. I remembered my brother's girlfriend saying that she had gone to OA, and I thought she was weird. I didn't know, why she was doing that. She was heavy. What was she was doing? She was just an odd woman. And that's what I thought about so many people. Everybody was odd except me. And of course, I learned that, it was always me. So anyway, I had heard of OA, and then I also, in my searching, not only talking to a psychologist, but I sought information from psychics, and I became addicted to that as well. And none of them could tell me why I was overweight, why I was miserable, none of them. But one lady did tell me that it was the way I thought. She said, "It's the way you think about things that is your problem." And I didn't really understand what that meant, but I do now. And so anyway, like I said, I was trying to figure out, why am I like this? And becoming addicted to the psychics, and it just wasn't, nothing was working. And my kids were a little bit older. I was still heavy. And of all places, I wanted to work at a boutique, a woman's boutique. And I could wear some of the tops, the clothes on the top, but I could never wear their pants or skirts or anything. And I worked there on Thursday nights, and I worked there alone. and sometimes people wouldn't come in, or sometimes I'd be alone a lot. The radio was playing, and I heard, oh, the psychic, by the way, one psychic did tell me, you should go to OA. And I didn't like that psychic. I never talked to him again. But one night after that, I heard on the radio about OA. Come to OA if you're having problems with food. We can help you. And I was like, oh, there's that annoying OA thing again, that message. And then the following Thursday, when I was at work, I heard it again. And so then now I was like, okay, I think God is trying to talk to me. And I really, when I was in search of the psychics, I was in search of God too. And so that whole spiritual thing, I was sure that I had found my answer, even if it wasn't going to be weight loss. I didn't know. I really didn't know. I just kept searching. And so I went to an OA meeting, and two people took me out of the room. I didn't want to be there. They took me out of the room as a newcomer, and they told me their stories. And I was like, oh yeah, I can relate to them. I didn't say it, but I could tell I belonged there. And then they asked me to tell my story, and I started talking, and I started crying. It was the first time I cried to anybody about my weight and how miserable I was and how unhappy I was. And for 2 years, I sometimes went to the meetings, and then I sometimes didn't. I sometimes made a phone call, and I sometimes didn't. There was the strangest thing after 2 years. It was definitely a praying and God, and I heard something, somebody say something, and all of a sudden I got the gift of desperation, and I was like, I got to do what somebody tells me. I have got to do whatever they tell me. So I asked a lady who was kind of tough. She was tough love. And I asked her to help me and be a sponsor to me. And she didn't want to. She said, oh, I'm really busy and I've got lots going on. And you'll have to call me every morning if you do this. And you won't be able to eat sugar. And you have to answer these 30 questions in 30 days. I did it all. I did what she told me. And at the end of 30 days, I was floored because I did not realize that a higher power had done for me what I could not do for myself. And I was not compulsively overeating, and I was not thinking about food. That was the best part. The obsession in my mind was lifted. And it was because I was focusing, I was doing what I was told, and that was the thing that started to work. So she started to take me through the steps, and she did it the way she knew. Now, it's not the way I do it with my sponsees today, but she did her best. And I found that I was powerless over the food. After that 30 days, I realized that I couldn't do it alone. And then I came to believe that a power greater than me could do it, because it was 30 days and I hadn't been thinking about food and I hadn't been eating sugar and I had been calling this person every day, and it was my higher power doing it. I recognized that. And then I made a decision that I was going to continue this program, and my higher power was going to bring me to sanity, which thank goodness he did. And the reason he did is because I made a searching and fearless moral inventory. Let me say that again. I made a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself. And I had never done that before. I was always making a searching and fearless moral inventory of you or family or whoever. It was never myself. And then when I admitted to God and to myself and to this sponsor what I had done, some of the things that I had done in life, I was just a wreck. I ended up crying again, and understanding that I was not this perfect person that I had always thought I was. I had asked God to help me with my children, and I stopped screaming at them and stopped spanking, and I never slapped my child again. I needed God's help. I needed God's help with my marriage. I needed, because I had been very wrong. I mean, my poor husband, he was a good man. He was nice and slim. He didn't have a compulsive eating problem. And I look back at myself and I was mean. I was cruel. I was selfish. I was self-absorbed, but I didn't know it. So I had to admit all these things and my defects. I had to recognize my defects of character, and I had to humbly ask God to remove them, which I did.
Lisa,
And
that's 4 minutes and 52 seconds. Sorry, I missed
thank you. Okay. So, and then I made direct amends to everyone that I knew I had to, my sister, and I wrote a letter to my mother, even though we were estranged, and I told her that I had been selfish and I was sorry. And she never, we never got back together again. But that was, my sponsor helped me with that, and we believe that was the best thing for my family and for my marriage, because I was my marriage was restored by my higher power, and I was brought to sanity in that too. And like I said, with my children, I was too. So I continued to take personal inventory of myself. My sponsor at that time, she said she could no longer go to OA because they wouldn't let her talk about her higher power. And so I said, well, you know, she said, I can still be your sponsor. And I was like, that didn't seem right. I felt like I should be getting sponsored by somebody in my program. So we parted ways, and she didn't want to, then she was like done with me. And so I got another sponsor, and that lady was in her 80s, and she helped me so much. Then when she passed, I got a Vision for You sponsor, and that's a meeting that I attend every morning. I did what my that last sponsor told me: how to sponsor others, how to get a nutritionist, how to eat food plan weighed and measured, and to work with other people, to make outreach calls daily, to do service when asked, and be grateful for it. And I've had my ups and downs. I've had my slips, like I told you back in December, when I had some had not weighed and measured something. When I hadn't done a 10th step. That was my problem, and I really say now that's the step that I really like to be in, 10, 11, and 12, as they say. And 10th steps are super important. And somebody told me not too long ago, I have to do one, at least one every day. And I thought that really is for my, and there's always something I can be disturbed by. So anyway, that's how I do it. And I begin my morning with prayer, meditation, scripture. I do read scripture every morning. And then I start my meetings. And I am in other programs as well, other fellowships. I'm very grateful for all of them. And I'm very grateful for all of you. And I don't know, do I have another minute or no? Yes? Okay. I feel like when I do what I'm supposed to every day, when I'm in prayer, when I'm in conscious contact with my higher power, my day goes so much better. And when I'm not, when I'm thinking about other people's things and I'm getting involved in other people, I'm not going to have this that good of a day. And I'm definitely going to need to do a 10th step. But do a nightly review every night too. Gratitude list every day. So important. Never was grateful enough. Never knew how much I had, how I was blessed. But I really see that now. I am so grateful for this program and all of you tonight. So thank you so much for listening and letting me do service.
Thank you so much, Lisa, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope.
You.